This is Prop Point on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome to Prop Points here on VSiN. I'm Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are with RotoWire.com. We got a lot to talk about today. A lot of hoops early on. We'll finish off with some baseball to finish the show, but we got two games that happened last night, a couple more tonight. We'll do play it or pass it. Alex Baruth is going to share his favorite props with us. And then we'll Thursday baseball. Got a lot of day baseball today too, Nick. Lots going on there. Mm-hmm. Let's start with that real quick before we get into wrapping up what happened in hoops. Rain delay going on in Cincinnati and the Reds and Cardinals game. 2-1 Reds in that one. Jose Trevino with a home run for that. Andrew Abbott versus Matthew Liberatore. Longer this goes on, the less likely we'll see those starting pitchers come back. That game's in the fourth inning. Mm-hmm. The Chicago Cubs up 3-2 on the Pirates. Nick, we talked a little bit about this game on our show on SiriusXM Fantasy. Interesting with the pitching matchup there. Paul Skenes against Colin Ray. Skenes out after five innings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was not the outing you were looking for from Paul Skenes, who had arguably his best outing of the season last time out. And, you know, I saw earlier today there was a note that came across Twitter. Paul Skenes over 6.5 strikeouts, Jeff, was the most bet player prop today, which is not uncommon. Everybody likes betting on Paul Skenes when he is on the mound. But Paul Skenes now out of the game in the top of the sixth. It is 3-2 in favor of the Chicago Cubs. Lasted only five innings, gave up five hits. Three of those hits, Jeff, were home runs in the fifth inning by Dansby Swanson, Kyle Tucker, and Seiya Suzuki over the course of five batters. So Skenes just never really settled in. You know, only finished with two strikeouts, gave up four walks as well. I mean, this was the first time in his career that he's given up a three home run game, and only given up a two home run game once last season. That came mid year against the LA Dodgers. And obviously he had only given up one home run on the year through about 38 innings coming into today. So big time disappointment from Paul Skenes, but Pirates led this game 2-0 early on, still 3-2, still a chance for Pittsburgh to rally back.
Yeah. And of course I immediately went to go check like his velocity, Skenes's velocity in this game. We went over to Savant and like his, yeah. His max exit velocity, his top pitch velocity was at 99.6, had a number of them in the 98s. Kind of makes me think that was okay, at least. But if you had more homers than strikeouts prop, then congratulations for you. You probably got a good payout on that one there. But weird things going on. Obviously, the fan falling yesterday in that series was a little strange as well. You could have gotten the Cubs at plus money on the money line to start the day. Anytime you get the better team at plus money, I kind of tend to like it there, even with the pitching matchup accounted for.
Yeah. Yeah, Cubs now minus 238 on that live money line over at DraftKings. And we got Joey Wentz in the game taking over for Paul Skenes. Like you said, that Cardinals-Reds game in a rain delay, sitting in the bottom of the fourth there. Reds desperately need a win. They dropped both games of the doubleheader yesterday. Not much to say about this Diamondbacks-Mets game so far, Jeff. 0-0 in the bottom of the third. We got two outs there. That's Zach Allen going up against Kodai Senga.
Yep. And then one other game live right now, and that's Rays and Royals, 1-0 Rays. Yandy Diaz with the homer. One other note in that series, Noah Cameron took a no-hitter into the seventh inning yesterday, got sent back down to the minors for his troubles. So good job, kid. Now get back to that minor league bus ride there. But he was doing a fill-in start there for Cole Reagans, who missed the game with a slight groin injury that didn't put him on the IL. So this is just to keep everybody on rotation otherwise there for the Royals. Kind of a tough break there. You know, you pitch so well and you get punished for it there.
Yeah, pitch too well, I guess. You know, I guess maybe you don't want to show up some of these big leaguers. I had to send them back down.
Yeah, that's
Guardians,
right.
By the way, up 1-0 on the Twins. We're in the bottom of the third there. Kyle Manzardo responsible for the lone run on the board as an RBI. Simeon Woods Richardson working for the Minnesota Twins. Do have a couple of games starting up shortly, Jeff. A's Rangers, that starts in about 30 minutes. Athletics plus 115, Texas minus 135 on the money line. And we are mere moments away, Jeff, about 5 minutes from first pitch between the Brewers and the White Sox. Brewers seeking their fourth straight win and looking to sweep the White Sox here. Milwaukee minus 160 on the money line, sending Chad Patrick to the hill.
Indeed. Everybody's looking forward to that one there for sure. I'm sure there's many people looking for it from a betting perspective. I should never mock, even though I thoroughly mocked Minnesota Cleveland earlier on the XM show today and then completely wished it away. Said no other games going and nothing to see here. But anyways, let's talk basketball. Yeah. Big games last night. Like, we got to talk Lakers, got to talk Timberwolves. I think so much of this is going to be couched in what's wrong with the Lakers, and I'll probably do the same. But I just want to say, you know, a little dap to the Timberwolves, who played a really good series. And of course, Rudy Gobert was amazing last night.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it yesterday, right, where I think you and I were aligned, you especially, on the Timberwolves to, at the very least, cover the 5.5, if not win outright. And I think last night was just another reminder that this doesn't feel like a fluke, right? It's not like, oh, you know, Minnesota caught some breaks and won this series in five. I mean, the Timberwolves, I think, resoundingly have looked like the better team throughout this series. And I don't know if there's a more devastating way to go out at home, Jeff, in front of your home fans, losing a game in which your opponent goes 7 of 47 from beyond the arc, 14.9%. Anthony Edwards, 0 of 11 from three. Dante DiVincenzo, 2 of 12 from three. Julius Randle, who I think was low-key the MVP of the series for the Minnesota Timberwolves, he goes 1 of 6 from three. And the Lakers, at no point did you really feel like LA was going to win this game. You know, they went on that run early in the fourth quarter. Dorian Finney-Smith hits a transition three. They go up one. And after that, you know, the Lakers scored 6 points in the next 6.5 minutes of game time. I think that is stunning to me. The defensive issues, you know, being unable to corral Rudy Gobert, that's one thing, because we knew that was going to be a problem. They don't have size. I thought JJ Redick was a little bit reluctant, a little bit petulant to, you know, kind of even try Alex Len, try Jackson Hayes. Not that you're excited about either of those options, but when Rudy Gobert has 9 offensive rebounds and he's continuing to kill you throughout the second half, you know, not really making an adjustment, just allowing that to happen, I think that was really frustrating. But the far bigger issue for the LA Lakers is that their starting unit, their best five guys, finished this series, Jeff, with a 105 offensive rating. You know, I think the idea with the Lakers is, okay, we're going to give up some things defensively. We don't have the personnel to match teams that can present us with size, but we're going to outscore those teams because we have two of the greatest playmakers in NBA history. We have guys who are going to generate great shots for us on a possession-to-possession basis. And that offense just never came around. It certainly wasn't there last night. Really, at no point in the series did you feel like the Lakers were really humming. I mean, they finished the series with a worse offensive rating than the Washington Wizards had as a team in the regular season.
Yeah, rough look. You know, they just looked old and tired to me. Luka had, you know, went to the locker room a minute before halftime with the bad back. LeBron got banged up late, was limping a little bit there. They just looked tired. They looked old. They looked like they couldn't play defense. There was a play late, you know, to praise Rudy Gobert, but he had a rebound put back dunk where there was not a body, not only not on him, but not within 2 feet of him either. And it's like, it's a big guy. Got to block him out. And it's just the Mark Williams non-trade, I think, was one of those things, but it just, and I understand that the Luka trade happened kind of suddenly, but maybe you can't plan around it, but they didn't have a plan. They didn't have a big guy. You knew this was going to be an issue. They tried with Mark Williams, and then after that, they rejected that trade. It was too late to do anything else.
Well, I think you got to give a hat tip to Chris Finch as well for playing the Rudy Gobert card in this spot, right? Because I think in a lot of ways, you know, Finch and the Wolves had kind of failed to exploit that advantage through the first four games of the series where, you're starting Gobert, but you're really careful with him. He's on a short leash. He's playing 23 to 25 minutes. And I think they were kind of keeping that card in their back pocket. I think they certainly caught the Lakers off guard with that. I mean, Rudy Gobert essentially like doubled the amount of minutes that he's playing in most of these games and was just fantastic. You know, and again, the Lakers' lack of a counter, the lack of effort in terms of boxing out. I know it's easier said than done, you know, when you're trying to ask a 6'7 or 6'8 guy to block out 7'2" Rudy Gobert, but this is an elimination game, man. Your backs are against the wall. And there was no sense of urgency at any point. You know, one thing that I thought about playing last night, and I'm glad I didn't, was Lakers first half, because I thought LeBron's going to be locked in, right? I mean, they're not going to get off to one of these sluggish starts. And even as Minnesota is bricking three after three after three, I mean, the Lakers struggled to keep this game close through the first three quarters. So really, really disappointing end to the season. Yeah, I think you can point to the injuries, you can point to the age for LeBron James, but this is one of very few games throughout his career, Jeff, where, you know, you're watching LeBron in the fourth quarter and you're just like, man, he looks out of gas. He doesn't have it. I mean, all these turnaround jumpers, everything's falling up short. And, you know, I think another big part of the reason the Lakers ended up losing this series, Austin Reeves, really, really rough, really rough. 6 turnovers last night, finished the series shooting 41% from the field, 31% from three.
Yep. And many have said, as Austin Reeves go, so go the Lakers. But actually, I say that in jest, but it's actually kind of true that
it matters
in his best games. It matters a ton. It really does matter a ton. Are you still using your buddy's gut instinct as your betting strategy? Come on, you deserve better. RotoWire has the real tools the pros use: rankings, projections, updates, and data that doesn't sleep. Whether you're making picks, setting your fantasy lineup, or placing bets, our award-winning insights give you the edge you need. Get started today by heading over to rotowire.com and entering ROTO15 at checkout for 15% off any RotoWire product. All right, Golden State and Houston. Houston jumped the Warriors on this one here. Got them early, had that like 40-24 first quarter lead, and they kind of just coasted the rest of the way. You know, Golden State shut it down in the fourth quarter. I was just surprised at the ease at which the Rockets won.
Me too. I think this is one of the more surprising single game results that we've seen so far in any of these playoff series. You know, Houston had been so dreadful offensively, especially early in games. And you think back to game one where they had 34 points in the first half. They put up 40 points in the first quarter last night, 36 in the second quarter. And, you know, this got mildly interesting for a bit in the fourth quarter. You know, some of the reserves for the Warriors were able to make a run. Steph Curry was not able to beg his way back into the game. And interesting to me that Steve Kerr did not consider putting him out there when, you know, got it down to like 12 points with about 5.5 remaining. But to me, that was a symbol that the, you know, the Warriors are kind of chalking this up as a loss. They're taking their medicine, don't want to overextend these guys, and now going all in to close out this series at home in game six.
Indeed. And we'll see what happens in that one there. They've had their chances in the two road games at Golden State. We'll see if they can kind of get finished. That's been their issue in the past here. We're going to be talking a lot more hoops, including tonight's two games and Play It or Pass It coming up next here on Prop Points.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to Prop Points. Jeff Erickson here with Nick Whalen. We are from rotowire.com. It is time for one of our favorite segments. It's Play It or Pass It time, Nick. We're going to do it with these two NBA elimination games tonight, starting off with the Pistons and the Knicks. The series is 3-2 in favor of the Knicks. We're going to go jump into, though, right away, talking about a little bit of Play It or Pass It on this Jalen Brunson prop. Over 28.5 points, minus 115. He's hit that in 4 out of 5 games against the Pistons, just not in game 5.
Yeah, and that's what makes it a little bit difficult, right? You know, it felt like this was a kind of an automatic winner through the first 4 games, and then you see everything come crashing down for Jalen Brunson in game 5. You know, you do wonder if there is some wear and tear, you know, playing big minutes, handling so many possessions for this team down the stretch. But I do think we'll look at game 5, you know, as probably the low point for Brunson in this series, whether the Knicks do close it out tonight or it does go to a game 7 back at MSG. You know, in game 5, went just 4 of 16 from the field. And, you know, the shooting is notable, but also notable that he took just 16 shots, by far his fewest in any game in this series. Only took 4 three-pointers, still is getting to the line at a good rate. You know, that always helps when you're looking at a points prop, of course. I do think I will play this one, Jeff. I don't love it. I think it's a great one that our producer Michael threw in here because it really made me think, you know, about how this game is going to transpire. I think he's going to shoot it more efficiently than he did in game 5. You know, for better or for worse, he basically is the Knicks offense at this point. But my primary concern is Detroit once again finding a way to muck this game up, as they have essentially the entire series. You know, I think it could be lower scoring. I think it could be a grinded out type of game, but I think the usage rate ultimately will be there for Jalen Brunson. I mean, he's gone over this number in a couple low scoring games already in this series. And look, while we're talking about this game, I do think I'm going to go back to the well, Jeff, on Karl Anthony Towns. It's all about timing the market.
I was just going to ask that
when it comes to Cat, but I'm looking at Towns over 1.5 threes. You know, dabbling with Karl Anthony Towns over 23.5 points. Maybe you got to pick and choose whether you like Towns or Brunson, but I'm begging you, Tibbs. I'm begging you. Run things a little bit more through Karl Anthony Towns. I think that's the path.
Yeah, and we're even getting a better number. It was at 24.5, I think, earlier. Now it's 23.5. Yeah, I'm going to go back to the well there. You know, last time I went back to the well was fruitful. So let's go. Let's do it again with Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. Porting over to the Pistons side. Tim Hardaway Jr., over 2.5 threes made at minus 115. Play it or pass it?
Yeah, this is a fun one. And, you know, Tim Hardaway is one of 13 from beyond the arc in the two games that the Pistons have won in this series. Ironically enough, they continue to find ways, even with Hardaway and Malik Beasley not shooting it all that well compared to their regular season standards throughout the series. But in the two games that have been played in Detroit so far, he is 11 of 25 from beyond the arc. You know, Pistons need him to get going if they're going to extend the series. I think they have a pretty good chance to do that tonight. And look, no matter what, whether he's going, you know, 6 of 11 or he's going 1 of 9, he keeps firing. That's who Tim Hardaway has been essentially his entire career. He's one of those kind of no conscience type of shooters. So it's been feast or famine game to game. But if you give me this at minus 115, I think it's a good enough price for a guy who, despite this being a very up and down series, has still gone over in 3 of 5 games.
Do you like any other Detroit props?
Not a whole lot, honestly. You know, I know a lot of people are looking at Jalen Duren unders tonight, and I want to wait and see on Isaiah Stewart before I make a call there. I do think there's a pretty good chance Stewart does play. He went through shootaround this morning. That's the first time since game one when he got hurt that he has gone through shootaround. So I think he's trending toward likely making his return tonight. So if you want to read into that, if you want to maybe look at some Duren unders, maybe we see some reduced minutes for him. They love Isaiah Stewart as a matchup on Karl Anthony Towns. I can see the logic there.
All right. Very good. All right. Before we move on to the Clippers and Nuggets, let's talk about the VSiN Pro subscription guide. Smarter bets start here and all last year and all last all year long with VSiN Pro. Easy for me to say. For a limited time, we're slashing the price of our annual subscription. Normally $240, just $199. And when you sign up today, we'll throw in 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access for less than 50 cents a day when you use the promo code PRO. Get 14 months of access to our daily best bets from VSiN hosts and guests, exclusive splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 live video and full show replays on the VSiN Watch app, plus all our special edition betting guides like our new Kentucky Derby betting guide. Head to VSiN.com/subscribe now and use promo code PRO to lock in 14 months of VSiN Pro for just $199. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. All right, Nick, we've been looking forward to every single Nuggets Clippers game. We're going to start off with an easy one here. Nikola Jokic, triple-double at plus 100. Play it or pass it.
Yeah, I love that this is the easy one, right? It's like, oh, a guy just going out and getting a triple-double in an elimination game. But it is easy because it is Nikola Jokic, right? If it was anybody else, you would say, okay, why is this, you know, priced at plus 100? But look, if you're giving me plus money on a Nikola Jokic triple-double, I have to be at least semi-interested. You know, he's averaging a triple-double for the series. He has one in games 3 and in game 5 the other night. Came up 1 rebound short in game 1, 2 assists short in game 4. He is averaging a triple-double for the series. I actually went and looked back, Jeff, and I pulled a sample of his last 30 playoff games. We're going back a few years here, and Jokic is basically averaging a triple-double in that span. He's at like 9.9 assists per game, but everything else is easily clearing. So again, I think at plus money, this is something you absolutely have to consider. You know, still had that triple-double on Tuesday, despite playing quote-unquote only 37 minutes, you know, due in part to the fact that, you know, wasn't a little bit of foul trouble. You know, Nuggets did dig a little bit deeper into that rotation when they held a big lead. So I expect this to be a closer game. You know, Clippers are pretty heavy favorites at home. I think this could be a night where Jokic plays 41, 42, 43 minutes. And again, at plus money, I think you have to look at this.
Yeah. If you just look at the with and without numbers on Jokic, it's pretty crazy. How much of a stark difference, more so than any other team, I feel like, in taking out their star. Play it or pass it, Kawhi Leonard over 24.5 points at minus 118.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I want to get something in when it comes to Kawhi tonight. And I know Alex Barutha has a Kawhi prop that he's going to share in the next segment as well. And yeah, 24.5 on the points prop, I think, is a good place to start. Minus 118 right now feels like a pretty low number for Kawhi Leonard, yet he's only gone over this number one time in this series. And of course, that was game 2 when he went crazy and put up 39. But 24.5, it's low enough for me to at least take a nibble. You know, you have to think Kawhi Leonard comes out more aggressively with the Clippers' backs against the wall tonight. Took only 15 shots in game 4. You know, he missed 4 free throws in that game, which is uncharacteristic for Kawhi. You got to give credit. You got to give props to Aaron Gordon, you know, who has given Kawhi some trouble in this series. But I don't think this is a spot where Kawhi can really afford to ease his way in. I don't think he can afford to be deferential. You know, James Harden has really tailed off, shockingly, as this series has gone along. So I would look at the points, you know, maybe take a look at the over 35.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. The rebounding has been there the last three games for Kawhi, 11, 9, and 9 rebounds. He had 11 assists in game five. I also don't mind 31.5 on the points plus rebounds if you want a little bit of insulation from just taking the points. It feels like it's been kind of a down series overall, Jeff, for Kawhi Leonard, still averaging 25, 8, and 5 on 56% shooting.
Yeah, I still remember like that the game one where he was just on fire and, you know, just couldn't go wrong. And then you see what he's done the rest of the series, like, oh, that doesn't really track. Oh, interesting. Okay, fair enough. But there you go. We'll have a lot more on that game and that series with Alex Berutha in a moment as he joins us on the Progressive Guest Line. Thought we'd circle back, give you more live game updates on baseball. We just saw Bobby Witt homer, two-run homer. The Royals are up now 4-1 in that one. What caught my eye, Nick, though, is that Witt's only at 3 homers so far this year. He's hitting over 300. He's hitting fine. Yeah. Just not hitting it deep that often. So big one for him to get on the board today.
Yeah, we'd like to see that. You know, he's one of the very few names on the short list of like reasonable AL MVP candidates outside of Aaron Judge, who's minus 650 right now. It's gotten to the point where at the DraftKings Sportsbook, they're now just offering Aaron Judge versus the field. We are not seeing that in the NL, where it's a lot more stacked up. No. But yeah, Bobby Witt, good to see him on track. Royals now leading that game 4-1 in the bottom of the fifth. 8 hits on the board for the Royals. I got the Brewers game on here, Jeff. We are moving to the bottom of the first. It is scoreless. Brewers had the bases loaded with 2 outs, and Rhys Hoskins ended up flying out. So a big missed opportunity early on for Milwaukee.
Got robbed of a homer there. I saw that.
Yeah. Oh, that's that classic Chicago White Sox defense, you know?
Yeah. Hey, when Luis Robert says no, he means no. So no grand slam for Rhys Hoskins there as far as that goes. Arizona up 1-0 on the Mets. That one there, Zach Gallen up against Kodai Senga. Really good pitching matchup there. Senga does have 6 Ks through 4 innings. 1 RBI coming off the bat of Alec Thomas, who's 2-for-2 in that one, scoring Eugenio Suarez. You know, Mets, tough loss yesterday. The final, but then again, I mean, they've been on such a roll. You're willing to excuse that.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think you'll take the start, certainly, if you're the New York Mets. Worth noting, by the way, Corbin Carroll with a hit already for Arizona. He's 1-for-3 today. Has struck out, hitting close to 300 on the year. And one of those guys, Jeff, that was a little bit polarizing in fantasy coming off of last season, but firmly in the mix for that NL MVP.
Indeed. Finally, Cubs are up 5-2 now on the Pirates. Seiya Suzuki with a double dong day, 2 homers. Second one was off of Nikolas, a 2-run homer. Alex Berutha joins us next on the Progressive Guest Line here on Prop Points.
You're watching Prop Points on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back to Prop Points here on VSiN. Nick Whalen, Jeff Erickson with you. Going to keep our NBA talk rolling along, although I will pass along that the Chicago White Sox have put a run on the board in the bottom of the first. That is Luis Robert with an RBI single. So that one, 1-0 White Sox, 1 out in the bottom of the first. Chad Patrick on the hill for the Milwaukee Brewers. Let's keep talking some NBA, and to do that, we bring in our senior NBA editor over at RotoWire, one of our favorite weekly guests here on Prop Points, Alex Berutha, on the Progressive Guest Line. You can check him out on Twitter, at Berutha Alex. Just a little last name, first name combination, Alex. We like that. I know you got some plays for tonight's 2-game slate, Knicks Pistons and Nuggets Clippers. Do a little bit of a look ahead, perhaps, to Game 6 between the Warriors and the Rockets, and do have some series lines up for Pacers Cavs. But first, Alex, got to get your take on what we saw in the late window last night. A disastrous, disastrous shooting night for the Minnesota Timberwolves. And somehow, some way, they survive and win this series in 5.
Yeah, the Lakers, it just feels like Minnesota, between, you know, this game and the previous game, figured something out. Like, I feel like the coaching staff understood what JJ Redick was trying to do, the scheme on their defense, how they were running their offense. I mean, LA committed 15 turnovers, which isn't a crazy number, but the Wolves just tore them up inside. 18 offensive rebounds for Minnesota, going back to Gobert after he had been sort of phased out of the series a little bit. He had 9 offensive rebounds. I mean, he was incredible. But there were a lot of possessions where, you know, Minnesota would run an action And then, you know, LA felt like they were predicting what was going to happen next, and Minnesota didn't do what LA was expecting them to do. And it just led to a lot of easy baskets. So at some point, they, despite the bad shooting, they sort of just solved the Lakers.
So how did the Lakers solve themselves this offseason? We know they have some major problems in the middle, you know, and they have some obviously financial limitations, but how can they go out and build a roster that can defend properly and still run this offense that they want with both LeBron and Luka?
Yeah, assuming they're not going to start Maxi Kleber next season. I think they need to definitely find a floor spacing big would certainly help, but everybody wants a floor spacing big. I don't think there's a single team in the NBA that's like, actually, we would not want a center that can block shots and shoot threes. But clearly, you know, something that's worked with Luka in the past has just been a really athletic center that can catch lobs. And I don't see why that's a problem with LeBron either. So I think they just need to basically get a replacement level starting center. I hate to like break it down that simply, but Jackson Hayes is not that guy. You could go out and get Capella and Brook Lopez maybe on the cheap, and that's all you need. But I think that's more than anything, that's mm-hmm. that's what they got to do.
All right, let's talk Rockets Warriors real quickly, Alex. Not a whole lot to say about this game. One that clearly got away from Golden State early on. You know, Rockets led by almost 30 at the end of the first quarter and pushed that lead up past 30 in the second. But you know, if you were on, you know, a lot of the popular overs last night, you know, just got to take your medicine there. Did not necessarily anticipate that being the result that it was, with Houston putting up far and away its best offensive game of this series. I do have to ask you though, did you have any Kevin Knox props going last night?
No, and I'm sure if I had asked a book for one, they would not have offered it. I would
that would have been a gently escorted out, I think.
Yes, exactly. No, the Rockets, you know, the thing that stuck out to me watching this game was the Rockets felt like they were playing at a completely different gear. Like they were playing way faster and way more decisively than maybe I've ever seen them play basketball before. And I think some of that was like their backs against the wall, the whole thing. And Kerr clearly felt like the Warriors guys just didn't have it last night. But I mean, I think this game does make things a little more interesting for game six, because if the Rockets can play with that same sort of urgency and decisiveness, now they're not going to shoot 55% from the field and 43% from three again, but I think it was the energy they brought more than anything that could give the Warriors trouble, and why I thought before the series started that I had picked the Rockets to win.
All right, let's turn our attention to tonight. Knicks Pistons is the first of the two elimination games. 59% of the handle is on Detroit to cover the 1.5 to make it to force a game seven. What say you, and do you like any plays from this game?
I think I like the Pistons tonight. I have been waiting. It reminds me a little bit of the Rockets, where in terms of like the Knicks, like I've been waiting for, I'm waiting for the Knicks. I'm like, where's this offensive explosion? When are they going to like put this Detroit team in the dirt that clearly is not as talented as New York? And it's just not happening. And Detroit has given them a ton of problems on defense, obviously, and they found ways to score. And again, backs against the wall at home, I feel like this is a pretty good spot for the Pistons. Mm-hmm. In terms of the prop market, I don't have anything. Yeah, I have Cade Cunningham over 6.5 rebounds. I feel like it's a relatively low bar for someone who has grabbed 6 rebounds in every game of this series and is averaging 9.3 since after game one. And I also like him over steals. His over 1.5 steals is plus 194. Pretty shocking at 2-1 since he is averaging 2 steals a game. Since he recorded 0 in game one, he is diving on the ground for loose balls all the time. He's in the passing lanes. He is one of the most active defenders in the entire playoffs. And so I feel like the fact we're getting 2-1 odds in this situation at home is a pretty good deal for Cade.
I like those. I like those. And I know you're also eyeing up Dennis Schroeder to get at least one steal. What would not be an Alex Berutha segment on prop points without a couple sneaky defensive props for the Detroit Pistons. We'll have more from Alex in a moment. But first, Derby Day is almost here. Why not make your first bet your best bet? With First Bet, you can wager on Churchill Downs, Belmont Park, and tracks around the world, all from your phone. Go to firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And enter promo code VSIN200, that's VSIN200. If you do that, you get a $200 sign-up bonus. Don't miss out. Bet smarter on the Derby with firstbet.com. By the way, we'll have Bill Finley from down the stretch on SiriusXM. He's going to join us tomorrow to give his thoughts on the Kentucky Derby. All right, back to Alex Barutha joining us on the Progressive Guest Line. Alex, the late game tonight, all these have been bangers to one degree or another. LA Clippers now backs against the wall. They need to win this game to extend the series. Clippers are 6.5-point home favorites, total sitting at 211.5. How are you betting this game?
Well, I went to the prop market first. Kawhi Leonard, over 36.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. He has picked up the slack in the series as James Harden has slowly disappeared and has taken fewer shots in every single game, is less involved as a playmaker. And this has happened to James Harden in the past. It is not necessarily a shock. But in game five, Kawhi had 20 points, 11 assists, 9 rebounds. The assists and rebounds are especially interesting to me because, again, Harden's not doesn't have it right now as a playmaker. You put the ball in Kawhi's hands more. And the rebounds, the past two games, Zubac is only averaging 8.5 boards. Kawhi's coming in on the defensive glass and cleaning things up. So I think we're getting a pretty fair number on Kawhi to kind of be the takeover guy in this do or die situation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just fascinated with this game here. You got a little Nick Batum action going on here, too. Again, digging into the corners. What do you like with him?
Yeah, Batum's three-point prop is 1.5, basically at even money. I like the over there. I think he's 1-for-8 over the past two games. He should be able to bounce back. He's averaging 2 for the entire series. Now, his minutes and his usage have decreased a little bit over the past two because Bogdanovich has started to play better. So that would be my only concern about this prop is what if Bogdanovich, you know, keeps playing well and they want to go to Derek Jones instead of Batum sometimes. But I still think it's a pretty solid number. I will say on the side, I don't think I answered Nick's question we asked about the side. I feel like the value might be on the Nuggets spread +6.5, given how close this series has been and the way the Nuggets have sort of rallied back and been the more energetic team lately. I do kind of like the +6.5. But it's tough. I mean, these backs against the wall games, again, we saw it with Houston. Sometimes they just come out and it's a 20-point game the entire way. Mm-hmm. And then it comes down to game 7. So these are some of the toughest ones to handicap, in my opinion.
I will tell you via the fantastic betting splits over at VSiN.com, handle almost exactly split on the 6.5, 51-49, slightly in favor of Denver to cover that 6.5. All right, on the way out here, Alex, what do you expect from Jamal Murray tonight? I know you have a couple Murray props that you're looking at. Did most of his work on the scoring side of things, still handed out assists in game 5. But what does he have for a follow-up tonight?
I was kind of interested in his rebounds. He has been more active as a rebounder. I feel like things have kind of gotten mucked up. Like I mentioned, Zubac isn't rebounding as much. I know it's on the other side of the floor, but it's both, you know, both sides are involved in the rebounding. Over 4.5 rebounds is plus money at a lot of books. And he's grabbing and he's going. So I like that. And I think his steals prop is pretty good value, too. He's been active as a defender. 1.5 steals is +138. All the advanced numbers back this up in terms of the deflections, the loose balls recovered. But in the series as a whole, he has a steal in every single game. And he's averaging 1.6. So the fact you're getting plus money on the over 1.5, I think it's a pretty good deal.
There we have it. Excellent stuff from our guy, Alex Barutha. Not one, not two, but 3 steals props on today's edition of Prop Points. You can check out Alex's work over at rotowire.com. Follow him on Twitter at Barutha Alex. We give you some baseball updates. We give you Jeff Erickson's best bets for the MLB slate tonight. Coming up next.
Prop Points on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Finishing up here on Prop Points, Nick Whale and Jeff Erickson hanging out with you. We got a number of baseball day games in action. Very day heavy slates today, Jeff. Just 4 games in the late window. We'll get all your best bets for those 4 games in a moment. We'll have our G-Bank best bets of the night coming your way as well. Scoreboard update around Major League Baseball. White Sox still hanging on to a 1-0 lead over the Milwaukee Brewers. Brewers with just 1 hit on Sean Burke through 2 innings. White Sox 2 hits on the board, including that Luis Robert RBI single. Pirates have tacked on another run. They still trail the Cubs 5-3. We are in the bottom of the eighth there. One out, runner on third for Pittsburgh. Still in a rain delay in Cincinnati. Reds leading the Cardinals 2-1. That rain delay been ongoing for close to an hour here. So starting to wonder if the starting pitchers will come back out. Arizona leading the New York Mets 2-0 in the bottom of the fifth. Kansas City Royals, Jeff, pouring it on. This is going to be a tough outing for Shane Baz, who's been tagged now with 7 earned runs.
Yeah, not only that, he's also only had 1 strikeout, 3 walks, like a ton of hits. Going to be just, you're just going to have to eat this one here, especially, and this is the thing that's especially vexing is it was a home start against a slumping offense, a previously slumping offense. All of a sudden now the Royals getting hot against the Rays. The Rays just swept the Padres. You know, if you want to try to like ride streaks, bet trends, you know, this is a cautionary tale right here.
Yep. 2 other games in action. We are in the top of the sixth out in Cleveland. Guardians leading the Twins 2-0. Just 2 hits for the Guardians, but a 2-0 lead. And just underway, still in the top of the first out in Texas, 0-0 between the A's and the Rangers. All right, Jeff, let's get to the later slate tonight. Nationals-Phillies is the first game we're going to discuss. That is Brad Lord taking the hill for Washington, going up against Taiwan Walker. Philadelphia minus 180 on the money line. Nationals plus 150. Got a big total here at 10.
Yeah, really big total, and I think they get there. Brad Lord is more like a surf. 467, 173 whip. Nats bullpen. Once you get, if they get rid of Lord early, that bullpen's going to have to eat up a lot of innings. They've been bad in this series. They were horrific on Monday against the Mets. Team bullpen ERA of 741 right now. And meanwhile, Taiwan Walker, you know, you look at him, he's like, okay, well, they got the edge in the pitching matchup, 278 ERA. Oh, that's pretty good. It's a ticking time bomb, folks. He's another guy. He's a lot like Bowden Francis, where the surface numbers are much better than the underlying numbers there. The expected number suggests a correction is coming. Not sure if it's going to be this game or not, but, 10% walk rate. He's been a little bit lucky on fly ball home run rate there, less than 10%. I think it's around 8%. So I like the over 10 runs in this game, minus 105. And we'll go with a little player prop as well. We'll take Kyle Schwarber over 1.5 total bases at plus 115. One double would do the trick for us there. Let's go.
Let's move over to the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. This one in Toronto, and we will see Tanner Houck taking on Jose Berríos. Close on the money line here. Red Sox, a slight favorite at minus 112. Toronto, minus 108. Again, Blue Jays are at home here. I know you're taking a look at a Berríos prop, Jeff. So what do you like?
Yeah, so let's talk about the pitching matchup. Berríos had his 1 win of the year against the Red Sox, but only 19.4% K percentage and only had 1 strikeout against the Red Sox when he beat them. Meanwhile, Tanner Houck, he had the worst outing of the season so far against the Rays earlier this year. Since that blowup, he's had 2 starts, 6 earned runs and 11 innings pitched, but 13 K. So I wanted to try to find a way to fade Houck, and I didn't like the prices on that here. I guess maybe if you want to try to get like a Toronto on the money line or something of that nature, that's the way to go at that. But I think the better way to go is Jose Berríos under 5.5 Ks, just low strikeout rate against a team that doesn't strike out a ton. It's minus 155, not a super good price, but I do like the under strikeouts there.
All right, that brings us to Tigers Angels in the late window tonight. This one out in LA. Detroit minus 130 on the money line. Total coming in at 8.5. Casey Mize taking on Yusei Kikuchi. This is another one, Jeff, where I know you're looking at a pitcher prop specifically for Mize.
Yeah, I wanted to look at both of them here on this case. I think, I wanted to dig into Kikuchi a little bit, and then I looked at the numbers on him a little bit more, and it's not great. Detroit strikes out almost 26% of the time against lefties, 25.7%. Kikuchi, though, his K percentage has dropped from 28 to 20%. He's had a really rough go with the Angels since signing this offseason there. On the flip side, I always like strikeout props against the Angels. They really strike out, especially when you ever get a left-hander on the mound. Andrew Heaney did well by us earlier in the season on that. But the Angels strike out, even against righties, though, 26.3% K percentage against righties. So even though Mize's K percentage himself is pretty low at 19.5, that's still up from 17.3 last year. I think this is one of the games where he gets there. It's only 4.5 to hit your over strikeout prop. It is minus 130, so kind of going to go with that there. I also think I like the Tigers on the money line at minus 130 as well.
All right, final game window. The red-hot Colorado Rockies, Jeff, who did snap their eight-game losing skid last night against the Braves, they now take on one of the best teams in the National League, the San Francisco Giants. Giants, big favorites on the money line, as you would expect. Minus 265 is the number. Rockies plus 215, if you want to dabble in that. I will tell you, Jeff, this Rockies team on a 27-win pace. And to make matters worse, if you navigate over to Tankathon, which has a lot of really nice things on that website, who has the toughest remaining schedule in baseball? It's the Colorado Rockies.
Not great, Bob. Not great. Kyle Freeland, not great so far this year. 0-4, 5.93 ERA. Dig in a little bit more on him, though. He's been just destroyed at home. 8.53, 182 whip in Coors Field. So you can see that. That's doing a lot of the work there in terms of the damage against him. Historically, he hasn't been better or worse at home on the road, and I think it's just the long-term effects of Coors just kind of whittling away at him. However, I kind of think this is actually a decent spot. In part, in a couple of things here. One, the Giants, it's been documented. We've talked about this before. Much worse against lefties than they are righties. And Freeland is a left-handed pitcher, last I checked. They have an 80 WRC plus against lefties versus 99 against righties. They strike out a bunch against lefties 25.1% of the time. Justin Verlander, this is a sweet matchup for him. I can't dispute that, but he hasn't been great, with the Giants so far. 0-2, 4.70 ERA. I think we're getting a pretty good price on the Rockies getting a streak, Nick, winning two in a row, perhaps after winning last night, breaking that 8-game losing streak last night. So at plus 215, I'm going to take a little sprinkle on the Colorado Rockies money line.
Wow. Noted Colorado Rockies supporter, Jeff Erickson, hopping on the money line tonight. We love
Let's go, Paste Eaters.
Give you an update on that A's Rangers game, by the way. A's did put a run on the board in the top of the first. That was a Miguel Andujar RBI single scoring Tyler Soderstrom. I did see, Jeff, A's no run first inning was one of the most popular bets today. So that one is blown up. A's leading that 1-0 as we head to the bottom of the first. Got a little bit of time here, Jeff. I do want to get your take real quickly on the NL MVP. If you had to bet somebody right now, because the AL just feels like it's not even a discussion. Anybody but Ohtani, would you bet Tatis? Would you bet Tucker? Would you bet Carroll, Pete Alonso? All between 4 and 7 to 1.
I think I like Tatis, but I'll dig deeper. If I want to really have some fun, get a good value on it, I think I'd probably go with Juan Soto, who is at 28-1 to start the day. I kept on going. I had to remember to go over to our a screenshot of a previous list of odds. Once the game started, you can't go over to the DraftKings Sportsbook. So I'm trying to go by memory there, and I think it is 2,800 that was at. Off to a slow start, but we know what he's capable of doing. He's going to be on a high-profile team, a team that has a good chance of winning. If he heats up, and the Mets, start to crush, I could see that positive momentum. I think these are the best odds you're going to get on Soto. So let's go. Just jump in a little sprinkle on that.
Our best bets of the night are brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSIN. You can get the GBank Visa Signature Card today. Most credit cards treat sportsbook and gaming transactions as cash advances. That's even when you put your own money on the card. But GBank treats gaming transactions as purchases. You're saving up to 3-5% on cash advance fees on gaming transactions right there. Also, with GBank, you're earning 1% cash back rewards on all eligible sportsbook and gaming transactions and 2% cash back rewards on all eligible purchases. You can apply now at vsin.com/GBank. That's vsin.com/GBank. Jeff Erickson, your GBank best bet of the night.
Going hockey, going on the ice here. Going to go under 5.5 goals in Maple Leafs and Senators at minus 125. 3 of 5 games have gone under that total. Leafs haven't scored more than 3 since game 1.
All right, there we go. I'm just taking Kawhi Leonard. Over 35.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. You can still get that number at DraftKings right now. There's some 36.5, even a 37.5 out there in the market. So Kawhi Leonard, over 35.5 points plus rebounds plus assists. That's going to do it for us on the Thursday edition of Prop Points. Make it rain with Adam Schein coming up next.